This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Roshan and Noel. 7:20 a.m, Thursday the 22nd of October. And in half an hour or so, we're speaking with Dr. Jeffrey Williams of Help University on the recovery for the private higher education sector. But in the meantime, we're turning our attention to the green economy, because before the COVID-19 outbreak, there was a groundswell of support both locally and abroad for climate change awareness and action.
Yeah, the International Science Survey 2019-2020 conducted by the Pew Research Center found that 7 of 10 Malaysians prioritise protection of the environment over jobs creation. Now, naturally, we had to conduct our own scientific poll into the matter. And on Twitter, we're asking you, do you think jobs creation should trump environmental protection as we recover from the pandemic? 27% have said yes, always. 19% say yes for now. 8.5% say no. And 46% are asking, can't we have both? And I think a pretty strong sentiment there. The jury is out whether the same sentiment holds true after 8 months of the pandemic, though. But I think we're seeing some mixed signals here from our own poll as well. And the sad truth is that the environment more often than not becomes a casualty of economic development.
So could COVID-19 spark a change in terms of how we balance economic growth and the need for sustainability? The Prime Minister has indicated that Budget 2021 will have a special focus on the sustainable development agenda. He's hinted at a major announcement to be made on November 6th. So for some thoughts on this issue, we're speaking this morning to Frederick Paulus, advisor to the think tank Research for Social Advancement, better known as REFSA. Frederick, thank you so much for joining us. Now, do you think the pandemic helps or hinders the climate change movement, especially given the severe economic repercussions that the world is facing?
So I think overall the pandemic helped, actually. I think it has highlighted how fragile our economy is when faced with disruptions such as this. We saw global supply chains breaking down. We saw soaring unemployment, underemployment as well. So people's incomes are affected. And we ran into issues with things we take for granted, like food security. And so I think you mentioned before the crisis, there was already a groundswell. I think there is a growing awareness among the public and policymakers that the disruptions from climate change is likely to be larger and more prolonged than that from the coronavirus. And so it seems to me that these initiatives have acquired extra urgency after the crisis. And I think we see that across the globe, Green New Deal in the US, we see it in the EU. And even recently, the IMF calling for more public investments in the green economy.
Now, Frederick, when we take a look at the larger situation, some assume that most climate change products, whether it's renewable energy, cost more than traditional use of fossil fuels, especially with oil prices at the levels they are today. My question here is, must one come at the cost of the other?
So I think the economics of the renewable energies are improving by the day. Obviously, we have technological advances. Solar panels are becoming more efficient. The installation costs are going down. So I think that issue will go away. Now, it is true that we may have to incentivize the adoption in the short term, maybe by doing some fiscal transfers or by raising taxes on petrol, for example. That could be necessary. But I think that problem will eventually disappear. And so the economic impact will decrease as well. It will become positive in the end.
So how much progress has been made towards Malaysia's climate change commitments? And where do you think we're perhaps falling short?
Overall, especially when we refer to the Paris Agreement, for example, in Malaysia is quite close to achieving its commitments in emissions reduction. There is some debate on whether those commitments could be more ambitious, but I think the trend is certainly going in the right direction. I think other targets are maybe a bit further away. We have a target to supply 20% of electricity usage from renewable energy by 2025. Currently, that percentage stands at 3%. So there is some work to be done there. But I think the direction of travel is right. And steps were taken as well to increase incentives. So, for example, a more incentivized net energy metering scheme to convince people to move to renewable energy. And I think maybe the more challenging area is transportation, which is also responsible for a significant part of our emissions. I think reducing that will be more difficult given our reliance on cars and especially single passenger cars. And that may be a more long-term change to look for.
Now, the Prime Minister this week signaled that the government would harness the green economy to aid the country's recovery from the pandemic. What policies or initiatives should the government prioritize for this purpose?
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think it's absolutely the right step to take. And from MEFSA's perspective, we agree with the majority in your poll as well. I think we can have both. and I think we need to prioritize four areas. I think the first is renewable energy, particularly solar power. I think there are a lot of projects here that are practically shovel ready, so we can start implementing them tomorrow, and that'll have an immediate positive impact. I think we can look at areas like that are linked to food security, develop urban farming, for example, which will bring production closer to the consuming markets and also generate extra employment, etc. And then waste management as well. I think that is not a big factor. Increase recycling, which also has economic benefits. I think these are some of the key initiatives that the budget should be looking at.
Frederick, what about low-hanging fruit here? What are some of the things that will be easily achievable from a Malaysian perspective as we move towards a more environmental conscious policy?
So I think there's two that might be worth mentioning in particular. I think solar energy is very much low-hanging fruit. The schemes are already there. Another one is, for example, moving to biomass, biofuels for electricity production. We can use byproducts from existing crops like palm oil and so on, which does require the development of the plants. But I think those are very obvious things we can start on straight away.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Frederick. That was Frederick Paulus, advisor to REFSA, giving us a bit of insight into just generally the green economy and whether or not, as we've also asked about on our poll, whether we can have both. So he mentioned a couple of things, including the transportation sector is still quite a major area that we need to look out in terms of as a contributor to the wider climate change issue. Noelle, what were some of your takeaways from that conversation?
I think the big picture here is institutional investors are going to be pushing for this environmental, social, governance, ESG framework. I think institutional investors like EPF are doing that. So I think what will happen is we're going to start to see this movement where public listed companies, especially GLCs, they might be compelled to show the way, be a role model in implementing ESG requirements. So I think there's going to be more emphasis on environment. And it's not just what our local institutional investors may be asking for. I think international standards are getting more strict, and we can see that in some examples, right? Our rubber gloves, our palm oil products, there were some restrictions on exporting to some countries like the US and maybe Europe eventually. So, you know, we are compelled. It's a matter of time. We need to, adhere to some high standards on environments, and hopefully we'll see some real reforms happening in Malaysia to push for climate change. To push for a climate change movement.
Yeah, I think we have some low-hanging fruit, right? The things like using biomass and solar, we have these initiatives in place, we have to build the infrastructure. But I think one of the big things here is whether we can, when we think about stimulus, we think about infrastructure projects. Can we channel stimulus efforts into green projects, green economic projects, build more solar farms, build biomass facilities, build the infrastructure needed to essentially build out the green infrastructure?
Yeah, so do continue to let us know what you think on the poll that we have running as well on the BFM Twitter account. We've got 100 votes so far, and I think about an hour left to weigh in. And if you're also interested in more of this conversation, Wong Xiaoning will be speaking with Dr. Sanjayan Velatuham, CEO of the Sustainable Energy Development Authority Malaysia, on the Breakfast Grill this Friday, or tomorrow, in fact. So you can tune in for that at 8 o'clock tomorrow. But right now, we are heading into the 7:30 News Bulletin, and up next, we're speaking with Catherine Lim, Senior Analyst for Asia Consumer at Bloomberg Intelligence, on Asia's retail recovery. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.